now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
As I had mentioned, today we have with us Dr. Casey Mulqueen from the TRACON Group. And before we have Dr. Mulqueen come on, I wanted to share a little bit about his bio, because I found that the bio was very intriguing and exciting to me because of a lot of the things that he does or has done. But before I do that, I just want to mention that the show is also open to callers. So if there's anyone out there that'd like to give us a call and perhaps join in the conversation with myself and Dr. Mulqueen, feel free to do so. Our number, you can find it there on the website, or you can just simply call in the number. It's 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Now, about Dr. McQueen's bio, he oversees the research and development of TRACON's various assessment instruments and product. He has experience in developing a wide variety of assessments such as personality inventories, 360-degree feedback programs, performance appraisal systems, and employee opinion surveys. His expertise is in cross-cultural assessment and norming, and has helped ensure that TRACON's global surveys are valid and reliable throughout the world. If I just take a second here, what's really important about this is that the surveys are valid and reliable throughout the world. Often we come across surveys or assessment tools that haven't been validated, but once they are printed or on the internet or something like that, we just assume that they are, but they often aren't. Dr. Mulqueen is a writer who's authored a variety of materials, including books, book chapters, and peer-reviewed journal articles. He has an MS in clinical psychology and a PhD in industrial and organizational psychology. I really like to take the opportunity to say welcome, Casey. Is it okay if I call you Casey?
Absolutely, Hank.
Fantastic. Casey, thanks for agreeing to be with us this morning or this afternoon, whatever your time zone is. I am just really delighted to have you as a guest. But before we go into discussing all this EI stuff and the behavioral EQ, tell me a little bit about the TRACON Group and maybe how we can find out more about that organization.
Sure, you bet. Well, thanks a lot for having me on, Hank. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners. So TRACON is a research-based human performance company. We design, produce, and deliver learning and development programs for individual effectiveness, team development, and leadership development. So just about everything we do is geared towards better personal and interpersonal understanding and effectiveness. And if you'd like to learn more about us, we're on the web at TRACON Corp, that's TRACONCorp.com.
Fantastic. So how long has TRACON been around? I mean, you know, is it fairly new? Is that you got many years of service under your belt?
We've existed for quite a few years, right around 50 years.
Oh, my gosh. So now, so when we talk about validity and reliability, one of the things that we can say just in terms of reliability is obviously there's a great deal of reliability there. Anytime an organization has been around 50 years, there must be some good things that people continue to see and realize that comes from whatever it is that you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, we think so. Certainly, we have a long and proud history of existence and also of research. You know, as I said before, we take that very seriously. So everything that we do and produce is based on solid research.
Speaking of research, what are some of the recent trends in EI? In other words, what is new research telling us that might affect how we practice EI?
Sure. Well, you know, the field of EI right now is just a little over 20 years old. So before in your setup, you talked about the evolution of EI, and it really goes back to the late 80s, early 90s with people like Salove, Mayer, and Caruso developing their performance-based EI test. And then in later years, Ruben Baron and some of the others with the EQI, ECI, and so on, more competency-based emotional intelligence measures. So there was that natural evolution from kind of an academic study to then putting out measures of EI and EI programs that were designed to actually work with people specifically at the workplace. And so now we're kind of coming into what I would consider a third generation of EI. And a lot of it is based on some of the more recent research that's been happening. So since we now have about 20 years under our belt, we've got some good data. And in just the last couple of years, there have been a couple of important developments in research, and primarily those have come through meta-analyses. And just that your listeners are clear on this, a meta-analysis takes multiple studies, takes the results of those and combines them and reanalyzes that data. So meta-analyses are much more authoritative and conclusive than individual studies can be. So these are very powerful research programs, and just in the last couple of years, we had a couple of those come out.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things, and you mentioned it just a little earlier, and that is the academic approach to EI. And I often work with customers and clients, and that's one of the toughest things that they say that they have encountered, and that is often when the consultants or trainers or coaches sometimes come in to work with them, they find what is being discussed or talked about often too academic, in that it doesn't seem to get to the real world matter, if you will. And I'm just using that as a way of saying, they say, well, you know, everything that we read, or most of the stuff that we read, you know, comes out of, you know, Yale or New University of New Hampshire or something like that. And it's tough to be able to take that and, well, put it on our plates and eat it, if you will. So EI often appear to or seem abstract to some people. What concrete things can people do to increase or make EI more or less abstract?
Well, I think a lot of that goes back to what the research has found recently. So I think you're absolutely right that it can be, especially for users out there, really kind of an academic exercise and a little bit confusing. And there's always that balance between that kind of rigor and then, you know, kind of charlatanism that you talked about before also, where you can see assessments and instruments online that basically have no reliability and validity, but that look appealing to a user, but that really aren't very helpful. So it kind of goes back to that. And I think what the research is showing is a couple of things. They were really looking at a few different questions. One of the problems that gets to the heart of the confusion issue that you just talked about is that there's not always a lot of clarity about what exactly emotional intelligence is. You know, there are a lot of different definitions of emotional intelligence, but they tend to share some commonality, but the research is a little bit less than clear on those. And that's really one of the problems, especially with people who want to use EI at work or in their home life, is that there are these multiple and sometimes competing models. So what the research is able to do is, in these meta-analyses, a study a variety of models rather than just a single approach or a single model. And by doing that, they could tease out some of the meaningful differences across these different aspects of EI. And then the second thing that they were able to do is find out what elements of EI are most important. So some people really emphasize things like emotion awareness and self-insight, that it really comes from the inside out, whereas other people emphasize the behaviors more. So the research was able to tease out some of that and put some really interesting twists on the findings in that area.
Yeah, that's why when I mentioned to the listeners out there that it's exciting, that's why it's exciting to me, because it's taking, there's a way of thinking about it or talking about it, and we'll just use the term one step beyond. It sounds like we're talking, you know, one step beyond what currently exists out there. And while there are a lot of models out there, they all seem to kind of talk about self-awareness, self-motivation or self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. Now, that's sort of like that base model, if you will. And while that's a useful model, even when people get into it and begin looking at that, they don't necessarily know, okay, so what do I actually do if I want my self-awareness to be greater than what it is, or if I want my self-regulation or social skills to be greater than what they are, what do I actually do, and how long does it take, you know, for this kind of stuff to show up? So there's been some talk lately about emotional suppression. People say that suppressing emotions at work is detrimental. It clouds our thinking. It leads to unhappiness and negatively impacts our performance. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's a good question. I think the answer is a little bit more nuanced than a simple yes or no, which some people have kind of intimated through that. There are really two things to consider about emotions. It's the experience of the emotion that you have, and then also how you express that. And so I think that those people are quite right when they say that expressing the experience of emotions can have bad effects. So if you chronically suppress things like frustration and anger, then that can certainly lead to high levels of stress, and that can affect your physical health and your mental health. Mm-hmm. And then also just not sharing your emotions with others can inhibit your ability to build relationships, since people, you know, naturally rely on a certain degree of sharing and intimacy. But the caveat there is that suppressing how you express those emotions actually is important and can be beneficial from you. So if you think about some of the things that you were talking about before with the stress around holidays, by suppressing kind of the anger that you're experiencing or managing it, let's say, in a better way, you're stopping the situation from escalating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, certainly.
Okay.
Now I'd say that...
No, I was going to say, I want to do a follow-up, sort of a follow-up question to that, because now we're getting into, you know, things people are probably relating to, you know, like going out and doing the holiday shopping or something like that, and when those emotions are really, you know, starting to show up. But before we can jump into that, you know, our sponsors say, hey, it's time to take a break. So can you stay with us maybe for a little bit longer after the break, and we'll come back and kind of talk a little bit more?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're still going to have Dr. Casey Mulqueen with us. And again, if we have any callers out there, anyone who wants to join in on our conversation, feel free to do so. But we'll be right back right after this short break.